This encore program for Fire on the Earth was chosen based on the request from many listeners.
Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're here again today with our special guest this week, Marcus Peter. Marcus is a theology teacher at Father Gabe Richard High School here in Ann Arbor, originally from Malaysia, and he's been sharing with us the amazing story of his own spiritual journey. If you haven't had a chance to listen to the program this week, I'd encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net. The program is archived there. You can listen to it whenever you want to. While you're there, you can browse all the good stuff we have on the website to help you grow in your faith. We have our television shows, The Choices We Face, and Crossing the Goal, Sister Anne's radio program, Food for the Journey. Lots of good material there, lots of good products to help you strengthen you in your faith. And maybe the simplest way to get a hold of it all is just download the Renewal Ministries app on the front page so you can listen to Marcus anytime you want. You can listen to any of us in the program. So, Marcus, welcome back.
It's great to be back, Peter.
Yeah, it's so good to have you here to just see the amazing journey the Lord has had you on. So we left off yesterday. You were involved in the Assemblies of God, and you saw lots of contradictions, and in an ironic way, each pastor kind of was his own pope, you know what I mean? He had to figure it all out on his own, and you saw so many contradictions. It got you asking deeper questions. You went to pursue the fathers of the church, and it's leading you step by step toward the Catholic Church. So I think that's basically where we left off, or somewhere there.
That is. So we last addressed the reality that the Bible is not a Protestant book. It's not something that came out of nowhere. It was compiled by the authority of the magisterium. And that means that the only way to properly read scripture is from the lens of the tradition. Of course, that wasn't given to me as a Protestant. And I discovered that much to my shock in my study of the faith. So what effectively happened from there is I was getting more and more terrified with this reality because I had this desire to be this Pentecostal pastor. And I was very heavily involved in the ministries of like healing and deliverance and just evangelization for the sake of the conversion of souls. And to this day, God continues to put that, we call it a burden of your burden for souls.
And you're experiencing something in it, like you're experiencing God working through it.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
For people and healing people.
And I could testify to very genuine miracles, medically verified miracles that I'd seen firsthand happen during some of these sessions or during some of these sermons. And God was continually using me in these ministries. And souls were being saved. Whole families were being transformed. And they were all coming to the knowledge and love of Jesus Christ. But what was bothering me was I couldn't stand on the pulpit, or I couldn't stand up on stage, if you will, and preach in all genuineness of conscience without first knowing which church was teaching the objective truth. And the more I studied, the more I realized that the churches that I was with were not teaching objective truth. And scarily enough, it was the Catholic Church. Now, herein lies the problem. If I became a Catholic, I had to give up that kind of dream that I developed of being a Pentecostal pastor with his bride on the keyboard and children in the worship band, and we'd be this traveling, ministering family, writing books together, giving talks together. That was the hope that I had nurtured and fostered in my years with the Pentecostals. But my conscience and desire for truth won out. The Holy Spirit compelled me so much. So effectively what happened was this. I studied every attack I had against the Catholic Church, and I was proven wrong on every single one. The last one was Mary. And I remember saying this prayer, I said, God, if the Catholic Church is right about Mary, and if she's everything that the Catholic Church says that she is, then I have no choice. I have to become Catholic. And I was not going to betray the guidance of the Holy Spirit in this discernment of where God was calling me. So I prayed, and I went forward in the study of Mary. I was convinced that of all the dogmas, the worst one, the hardest one to prove would be the Immaculate Conception.
Yeah.
Boy, was I wrong. So it was really Tim Staple's work on the Immaculate Conception as found in his book, Behold Your Mother. And this was funny. I'm really grateful for that person who challenged me to study Catholics, because I was only studying Protestants who said things about Catholics, but not really what the Catholic Church believed. So Tim Staple's work in Behold Your Mother, he explicates Luke chapter 1, verse 28, Kaire kekari tomine, which means, very loosely translated, scholars have been kind of tearing apart those words for years, but it loosely translates into hail, kind of my queen, a kind of royal greeting, if you will. Hail my queen, who was, is, and will forever be perfect in the grace of my God.
Which is what full of grace means,
what
you're saying.
Exactly.
So, and hail again, Mary, full of grace.
Exactly.
Hail. And so it's the angel. who actually spoke those words. This is why we say it in the rosary.
Yep.
It's not just something man-made.
It was
literally, it's totally biblical.
Absolutely. Yeah. At least the first half is explicitly biblical. The second half is implicitly biblical. But absolutely, the whole thing is very naturally biblical. Of course, in scripture, it doesn't appear as Hail Mary full of grace. Yeah. It's actually Hail full of grace.
Right, right.
And the reason for that is almost as if Gabriel is transposing her name, if you will, from Mary into full of grace. Yeah. Like almost as if that's her title, a title that's awarded to. And in all of scripture, she's the only one who's afforded this title. And those kind of realizations shook me, because I was telling everyone that she was nothing more than a carrier for Christ, and you guys are placing her on too much of a pedestal. I was very anti-Mary.
Yeah.
There was no reason for me to...
It was that they had no category for the Lord's sharing of his majesty and his gifting. It's like the reason people reject it is it diminishes the sole sovereignty of
Jesus Christ, yes.
And they don't understand.
They don't, don't. And in fact, I didn't understand. I genuinely believe that, especially this Catholic pious devotion to Mary, was taking away from Christ. Yeah. I genuinely believe that. In fact,
it's
remember...
It's like a zero-sum game. You're emptying... In order for this series, you're going to empty part of Jesus.
Part of Jesus,
therefore,
yes.
You're not going to get the whole Jesus.
Right.
And it's very confused of thinking.
Right. Yeah. I came to discover very, very much later that there's no zero-sum game when it comes to grace and the faith.
Yeah.
But yeah, I remember sitting down at one point with my mother and her sister, using scripture to explain to them why their Marian devotion was wrong.
Yeah.
I remember explicitly doing that. In fact, during that time, my sister, who is now a postulant with the Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist, Sister Michelle, please pray for her, keep her in your prayers. She's discerning the novitiate and eventually living her life in this congregation. I remember she and I were talking about the faith at one point, and I told her this very explicitly: the catechism of the Catholic Church is the work of the devil. Those were my exact words. I told her that.
For discernment.
I know. And God has a sense of humor, right? He took that guy and made him a Catholic theologian. Go figure. Yeah, so I studied these words, and it shook me to my core, because I had no more attacks against the Catholic Church. In those two words were contained everything I needed to know about this woman. Because you cannot be at once full of grace and possess any inkling of sin. Mm-hmm. And those were just logical conclusions, principle of non-contradiction, right? Just very logical conclusions. You cannot at once be sinful and possess the fullness of grace, was, is, and forever will be. So Greek kind of favors participles, which means it connotes a past, present, and future reality, ke karitomene. Again, that's another thing that shook me to the core, and I had to become Catholic. So, in all honesty, I don't remember what date it was that I came back into the Catholic Church. Mm-hmm. All I knew was I didn't have to go through RCIA, because I studied my way into the faith. And because I was baptized and confirmed, all I needed was the Sacrament of Reconciliation, which I promptly received. I confessed everything that I had done against Holy Mother Church, and I celebrate my anniversary on December the 8th, 2010. Mm. So it was 2 years from my becoming Pentecostal to my becoming Catholic. That also meant I had to give up the entire reality of me being a pastor, but I was so gripped by this joy that I just trusted where God was going to lead me. And I began preaching retreats, continued to preach retreats. I was being invited to preach retreats, now as a Catholic. Now as a Catholic, armed with the fullness of the faith in scripture and in tradition. And boy, was it wonderful. Because I was no longer the magisterium. Peter, I cannot begin to tell you how much it takes a load off your shoulders.
So hard to be the Pope, isn't it?
Yes, it's so hard.
Majesty in the church.
No, and not just the Pope. It's so hard to be the magisterium itself.
The whole tradition and the fathers and everybody.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't have to do that. My job as a theologian now is to read the tradition and represent it to the people. I don't have to come up with a single original thought. It takes a weight off my soul. And it compels me to want to bring people to Christ in His church. I'm not the center of attention.
Yeah.
And that's so great. So this was my life. I very shortly after felt that God was calling me to religious life. And I spent 4 years with a particular religious order. And after 4 years with them, it was a preaching order. I learned the Alphonsian method of preaching retreats, which is every talk needs to be geared towards conversion. That means you preach on a particular virtue to convert from a particular vice, so that at the end of the retreat, the person's soul is ordered towards conversion, away from sin, towards Jesus Christ. And I spent 4 years with them, and during that time, I was involved in a lot of mission work. So this was during the time that I did my work in Malaysia, Singapore, India, the Philippines. And then I discerned out and continued 1 year as a full-time lay preacher. I was affiliated with the Archdiocese of Kuala Lumpur. I had a spiritual director who oversaw all of my ministry work. and I kept accountable to him and the bishop. And from there, I just continued doing this work. And during that time, the Lord called me to solidify my immersion in the tradition by doing a master's in Ave Maria. I got accepted.
Ave Maria in Florida?
Yes, University. Ave Maria University in Florida. Mm-hmm. I got accepted into the MA program. And it was two of the best formative years of my life theologically. And during
was an MA in what? In scripture?
So the MA is actually in systematic theology, okay. But I did my thesis in biblical theology. Okay. And I was blessed to have had Dr. Scott Hahn. So my area of study was covenant theology, which I picked up as a Protestant. I didn't realize that I was borrowing from his work for a number mm-hmm. of years. And it was when he was overseeing my thesis that I got to immerse much more deeper into his work and into the church's tradition of the covenants. My thesis is on this nuptial character of the biblical covenants. And so Dr. Hahn and I now have a good friendship. He's been a very wise mentor in a lot of ways, and it's been a very enriching relationship, more so in that he's not afraid to tell me the truth even when I don't want to hear it. And that's been very good for me. And it was also during my 2 years during the MA program that I was blessed on the feast of the Nativity of Mary to have met my bride. After a year of friendship and discernment, a year and a month, on October the 7th, the feast of Our Lady of the Holy Rosary, we began courting. On April the 9th of that year, it was the Annunciation. It was moved forward because of Holy Week. We got engaged on the Feast of the Annunciation. And last year, December the 8th, 2018, we got married on the Feast of the Immaculate Conception. So this woman, thank you very much. And I'm very blessed. This woman, whom I'm blessed to call bride, is by far one of the quietest, most humble, most prayerful women I've ever encountered. And she's such an, it's almost antithetical to me. And that's why she's so complimentary. And this sense of quiet fortitude and strength that she possesses. Mm-hmm. And she's been a Saint Therese all her life. She's never wavered from the faith once. And I stand in stark contrast and almost Pauline Augustinian right. diversion from the faith and return, if you will. And that's been the journey thus far. And Mary has been overseeing every facet of our life. Our marriage has been consecrated to Mary. And as a result, through Marian intercession and through discerning where the Lord called us, we spent 1 year in San Francisco teaching scripture and counted some of the most atrocious things that I've ever encountered, and we can talk about this at a later time. Mm-hmm. But after that, the Lord opened this door. Father Gabriel Richard was looking for a theology teacher, and we put it in the Lord's hands and said, because this is where we want to be. Her family is here, my sister's with the Sisters of Mary, my brother is in Canada, so this is actually where we've wanted to be. And mm-hmm. we felt the Lord call us to it. We just didn't think He would bring us here so soon, and now here we are.
That's wonderful. Now, we just have just like a minute left in the program. I wonder, could you just help our listeners understand, maybe people who'd like to bring you to their parish or their diocese or something, what are the kind of things that you most like to do or you feel like most gifted Absolutely. To do in those situations?
Absolutely. So I've ministered not just particular talks, but whole retreats on a myriad of areas. So I'm very immersed in the philosophical tradition, both the Aristotelian school and also mm-hmm. just the medieval school of thought, the church's teachings. But principally, I'm a scripture man. Mm-hmm. And I preach biblical theology for the sake of conversion of souls. I'm also immersed in St. Augustine's tradition, the tradition of St. Thomas Aquinas, and Pope Benedict the 16th Ratzinger. So I do anything from pastoral theology to biblical theology to marriage and the family.
And very strong on apologetics.
Yes, very strong. A lot of what I do has a hinge on scriptural apologetics, yes.
So if people want to know more about you, just Google your name, Marcus Peter, or what's the best way? What's the website?
So Google Marcus Peter Theology or Biblical Theology. It's the first thing that's going to show up.
Great. Well, we have just a few seconds left in the program. Friends, Marcus is going to be back tomorrow. We're going to dedicate tomorrow's show just on touching on a number of apologetic issues, some challenging issues that Marcus is going to give us some good teaching on. I'd encourage you to join us. Ask your friends to join us. The program is going to be really good. God bless you. Have a great day. And let's continue to walk together in the power of the Spirit for the glory of God under the loving prayer and intercession of Our Lady. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Does God Judge? Wow, what a question. But it's a relevant question. Scripture says we were all appointed to die once and then the judgment. We know for sure each one of us has an appointment in our future. And it takes Scripture, Catechism, and the saints to help us understand the beauty of God's plan and how we can look forward to the judgment as followers of Christ. If you'd like to get a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/FOE.